Please turn now, as I say, to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look together at verses 11 through 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. Hear God's word. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God, through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful again that you give us your grace. And we pray now that you'd be pleased to do so as we take time to look into your word and look at the things of Jesus Christ, who is indeed the only Lord and Savior. For we pray in his name and ask for your grace in our lives through him. Amen. Going to family conferences and presbytery retreats is a great delight, and generally in those conferences and in those retreats there is what in some circles at least is called a consecration service, and those consecration services have an evangelistic thrust. In them the gospel is presented, and men and women and young people and children are called to commit themselves to Christ and to recommit themselves to Christ. On one occasion, when I had the privilege of preaching at such a service, one of my fellow ministers came to me before the service and asked me a question. The question was, would it be all right if I explained the use of the commitment cards before you preach? And I said, well, I'm a little uncomfortable with that. I'd rather that you not do that. And my rationale was this, that I think the work of Christ and the gospel of Christ is the methodology that God uses to bring about peace in the hearts of those whom he is calling to himself. And so we proceeded on those grounds with our service. And in our text this morning, we see that it is indeed the gospel of Christ, the work of Christ, and the gospel of Christ that is our only source of peace. It's not some other mechanism that brings about that peace. It is the gospel of Christ and the work of Christ that is our ultimate peace and our final peace. And so this morning, I'm here to challenge you to commit your life to Christ or to renew your commitment to Christ. Because, as I say in the title to the sermon, he is our only authentic peace. And I want you to know this morning that his work and his message are the only source of authentic peace. As we look at our text, and we'll look at verse 17 first of all in the text that I read. You notice that it says he came preaching peace. And the referent there, the word he, refers to Christ. I think you get that readily when you look at the context. Read verses 11 and following with me. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which he performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that he himself might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he, that is Christ, you see the connection? It's very evident in the text. It's Christ. Christ came and preached peace. And he did so in his person, and he did so by means of the pouring out of his Spirit. We don't think much about his coming and preaching peace, and of course the text in its context talks about his preaching peace to both Jew and Gentile. We don't think much about his preaching peace to the Gentiles in his person as he walked in the world. But just think about it for a moment. The Samaritan woman, the woman by the well, and she exclaimed to Jesus, "How is it that you would talk to me, a Samaritan woman?" And then in parentheses in John, it says, "For the Jews would not speak to the Samaritans." But Jesus came to her. Jesus would talk to her. And then you remember that Jesus spoke to the Syrophoenician woman. He went up into the area of Tyre and Sidon, which is in modern-day Lebanon. And he preached in that area. And he met this Syrophoenician woman, a Greek individual. And she begged him to heal her daughter who was plagued by a demon. And he did so. And then he would travel down and, interestingly enough, go into the east side of the Jordan and the east side of the Sea of Galilee, over into the area that is known as Decapolis, the 10 Greek cities. And it was in this area that Jesus met the demon-possessed man who was possessed of legions, and guess what? Delivered him, and he sat fully clothed with peace in his heart. He came preaching peace to the Gentiles. And then the Spirit was poured out after Jesus was crucified and went into heaven. And on the day of Pentecost, there were many converted among the Jewish people in Jerusalem as the Spirit was poured out. And the disciples spoke in different languages, preaching to those who were present for the great feast. But then you remember, do you not, that it was a short time later that Peter went to the household of Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, an officer in the Roman army. And the Spirit fell upon the household of Cornelius as Peter was preaching. And Peter said, "How am I going to withhold water for baptism from one upon whom the Spirit has fallen, just like he came upon us at the beginning?" And he preached peace, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And the fact that the Gentiles would be incorporated into the body of Christ, into the corpus of believers, was prophesied by Isaiah. And we read that passage a little bit earlier, but I'd like you to turn back to it. Because it's this passage to which Paul is alluding in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. In Ephesians 2:17 he says, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near." And look then at Isaiah 57 and verse 19. Rob read this passage to you just a little bit ago. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 19. God says he would be about the business of creating the praise of lips or the fruit of lips. And what would that fruit be? Pray, peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near. Peace to him who is far and peace to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. So those who are far away and those who are near, to those Christ committed himself in his person and by his Spirit to preach peace. Now, some of the commentators think that the far are just those in Israel who happen to be far away in Babylon. But I'd like you to look at chapter 56 and what chapter 56 says. Look at verse 6 and following in chapter 56. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast to my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. What is the promise? The promise is not only to those who are far off in Babylon, but it is a promise to foreigners. The Jewish people even today call them the goyim, the peoples who are outside of the covenant. And the promise is to bring them in, to bring them in, to make them part of the people of God. Even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. The foreigner. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. Not just for the people of Israel, but for all of the peoples of the world. So the far are the Gentiles, and the near are the Jews. And this is exactly how Paul interprets this text in Ephesians chapter 2. Didn't you pick that up already? Look again at the context in verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Those who were far off were strangers to the covenant. They hadn't had the blessing of hearing the Word of God. They hadn't had the blessing of hearing the covenant promises of God. And so they were far off. And look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so the result, you see, the result of this preaching of peace in the person of Christ and by the Spirit is that people like you and me are brought near to the covenant promises of God. I think that's rather astounding. And I submit to you, friends, that in Ephesians chapter 2, there is not simply theoretical language here in which you can examine the text and say, oh, that's nice. This is a message to you and to me. Verse 13 again. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off. I wonder how many of you in this congregation can claim Jewish ancestry. Any of you? Okay, one. 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 What does that mean? You who were far off have been brought near. And you, by the grace of God, have had the privileges of hearing the Word of God. This is not theoretical. This is you and me. You have had the privilege of hearing the gospel. You have had the privilege of being brought near to the covenant promises of God. Who are the true children of Abraham? Paul says, not those who are of the flesh necessarily are the true children of Abraham, but those who are of the Spirit, who are born again, who trust Jesus Christ. They are the recipients. You are the recipients of the promises of God. And therefore, as verse 12 says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now you have hope, and you are not without God, because having been far off by the work of Christ and by the work of the Spirit, you have been brought near. And Paul says in this text, in verse 13, very specifically, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ. Here is the effectual working of God in your life. Now, I want you to get something here. Jesus Christ went to the cross 2,000 years ago. And what Paul is saying to you is that when Jesus Christ died on that cross and shed His blood on that cross, you were brought near by that work of Christ accomplished 2,000 years ago. Now you have to let that soak in a little bit. And I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, because it shows us something similar here. Hebrews chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul quotes from Psalm 40. And I want to break in Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 8. Hebrews 10:8. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Sacrifices were offered according to the law. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." Christ then came into the world to do the will of the Father. Verse 9 again. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first in order to establish the second. In other words, he takes away those old sacrifices of animals on an altar in the temple. He takes them away. For what purpose? To establish the second. That is, to establish the sacrifice of Christ as the once for all sacrifice for all time that is adequate to wash away your sins and my sins. No sacrifice need be repeated. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice. And now notice verse 10 in Hebrews 10. By this will, by coming into the world and accomplishing the will of the Father in sacrificing himself and putting away those sacrifices in the temple, by the accomplishment of this will, the text says, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In other words, my friends, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, you were set aside for the purposes of God, in the plan of God. You were set aside. This is not, again, some theoretical thing about which we are talking. God had a plan from all eternity. And when Jesus Christ came into the world and died on that cross, you who have accepted Him and put your faith in Him were set aside for the purposes of God. Of course, you have not yet at that time, not even having been born, you did not experience yet the good things of that work of Christ. But how is it that you experienced the good things of the work of Christ? Go back now to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 17 once again. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. That's how you came into an experimental, a personal, a real relationship with Jesus Christ in the here and now. It was through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're sitting under the hearing of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is how you received peace in your heart. It was through the work of Christ on one hand and through the proclamation of the gospel on the other hand that this ultimate peace, this authentic peace, came to reside in your heart and between individuals who are present in this congregation. That's how it came about. Now, the text tells us something else about what Christ did. And it's similar to what we just read in the book of Hebrews. Look again at verses 14 and 15. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. There was a barrier and a dividing wall, Paul says, between Jew and Gentile. And as a result of that barrier and the dividing wall, there was great enmity between Jew and Gentile. And all you have to do is think about the enmity that exists in the Muslim world with regard to the Jewish world, and you understand the kind of enmity that Paul is talking about here, where that fellow in Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, stands up and says, I want nothing more than the annihilation of that Jewish nation. There is enmity present. And Paul says that the dividing wall is broken down by Christ so that the Gentile is brought near. And what is that dividing wall? Well, verse 15 tells us, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments in ordinances. Now, let's get this straight here, that Paul is not talking about an abolition of the law. Paul is not talking about here an abolition of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are a perpetual moral demand which falls upon your life and upon my life. Notice how Paul phrases it. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is in the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And what are those ordinances? Those ordinances are the ceremonial law. Think about this for a moment. In the church today, we speak about the ordinance of baptism. We speak about the ordinance of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. These are peculiarly religious laws, these ordinances. They have to do with the sacrifices. And so what did Christ do? He put away the temple. He put away the sacrifices on the altar to establish his sacrifice as the only sacrifice, the permanent sacrifice, the sacrifice which once for all would cleanse the sins of people like you and me. And then, having done that, what does Christ do? By the power of the Spirit, He comes and preaches peace to you and to me. Verses 17 and 18 now. And He came and He preached peace to you who were far away. Yes, you Gentiles here. I'll claim that. You Gentiles here. And to those who are near. Notice how Paul puts it. The Gentiles he puts first. Peace to those who are far away. And then those who are near. And we get a little inkling of what transpires in the life of the apostle when he goes into a location and the Jewish people repudiate the gospel and he shakes the dust off of his feet and he says, we're going to the Gentiles with a message. Thank God that that was the case, because that means that people like you and me had the privilege of hearing the gospel. And then, in verse 18, for through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So that you and I are brought near, not just for the sake of being brought near, but for the sake of having access to the Father who is in heaven. I remember years ago when there was enmity and estrangement between my father and me. And I was in Korea and I heard the gospel. And I came to Christ. And then I went home. I didn't know what to expect. And my dad knew, because I'd testified to this fact, that God had taken the taste of alcohol out of my mouth. And you know what my dad did? When I got home, he went out and he bought a little carton of Coke to bring home to me. And that was a little message that he was sending to me. It's okay, son. We're okay. You have access to me. And you can talk to me. And that's what Christ does for you. Not only on the level of your family, but on the higher level, where now you can go to the Father in heaven and you can talk to the Father in heaven. And the result is peace. Peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And when you trust Christ and the once for all work of Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. And notice what the text says. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. Jew and Gentile alike. And I'll tell you something. If God can break down the enmity between Jew and Gentile, He can break down the enmity very easily between Gentile and Gentile, between husband and wife, between father and son, between brother and sister. That's the business He's in. And so you see, it's the work of Christ and the message of Christ that brings authentic peace. And so this morning, friends, I call you to recommit your lives to Jesus Christ, the Lord. Isn't it an appropriate time to do so? At the beginning of this new year, on the first Lord's Day of this new year. And isn't it a particularly fitting time to do so when we have the privilege of coming around this communion table? And so I urge you, in the name of Jesus Christ, recommit your life to Christ. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, come to Him now. Come to Him now. In that service that I spoke about earlier, the same pastor came back to me after I had drawn back a little bit with regard to the decision cards. The same pastor came back to me and he said the next day, he said, "You know, among the young people, we had the largest number rededicate themselves to Christ or come to Christ than we ever have had before in such services. It's the gospel of Christ and the work of Christ that brings authentic peace." And so I say to you again, when you come to the communion table, or even before you come to the communion table, say to Jesus, "Lord, I love You. You're the only Savior. Wash me from all of my sins." And when you take that communion cup in your hand, remember the blood of Jesus Christ and say to Him, "Thank You, Lord, Thank you, Lord, for your good work on my behalf so long ago. And thank you that I've had the privilege of hearing the gospel and recommit your life to Christ. And you young people who may not be taking communion because you haven't made a public profession of faith in Christ, you may do the same. And as we in a moment talk about the table, commit your life to Christ and say to Him, Lord, take away my sins. I want to live for you. Commit yourself to Christ, His gospel, and His message bring the only authentic peace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Grant that we might hear it and understand it. Work it into our hearts, we pray, that we might better serve you and love you. We ask in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen.